calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net for Wednesday, November 13th, 2019. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the city of Groton. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also, to promote the good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins. And when we have everyone checked in, we will go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We will ask for your questions after everyone has been checked in. There are three sections to the TipsNet. The first is the open net, as just described, with rounds of questions and comments. Following that is the second section, which is for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And lastly, the third section is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," then release the mic button. Like I just did, and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a quick comment or question. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located in the city of Groton, and I'm your net control station for the evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. No questions at this time.
Good evening, here is.
One, Romeo, Mike, November, Bob and Monto, no questions at this time.
This is November, Kilo, One, Victor, Steve, Coventry, no questions yet.
Getting closer to winter. I, for one, am start relishing this kind of weather. Arizona statutes, and it's talking about crimes and obstruction of justice, obstructing justice, and it's in the 2019 Florida statutes 843.16. Unlawful to install or transport radio equipment using assigned frequency of state or law enforcement officers. And of course, there are some exceptions and there are penalties. And basically what this means is that if you have a scanner or a radio that can do receiving and transmitting, either way, if it has programmed into it, it can be capable of receiving these frequencies. That's not the point. The point is, if they've been programmed to and assigned channels that are frequencies used by state or law enforcement officers, you are in violation of this, and it's a misdemeanor of first degree, punishable as provided by certain other state statutes. So I happen to stumble across this because I always thought that it was anybody could, use a scanner for anything. And lo and behold, apparently in Florida, that's not the case. So I brought that up for a topic, or if anyone has any other topics they'd like to talk about, please feel free. So we'll start at the top of the list with Dave, K1DCT. This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
All right, Tim, very interesting. Just to clarify, you had to be capable of transmitting also, is that correct?
No, that's not correct. Even a scanner for just receiving would also be improper according to this statute. So any radio equipment, and radio equipment also involving reception. At least that's my take on what I'm reading. I'll just back to you.
Okay, just wanted to be clear on that. I thought I heard something different, but I know New Jersey has several laws about scanners and other things. But just to listen to them, maybe that means you're engaging in some sort of criminal activity because you want to know where law enforcement is, but, the bottom line is, like anything else, they have to catch you at it. So, unless you're... And probably somewhere in those laws it has something to do with, what do they call it? That you intended to do something. The word's not coming to me. But there's probably a little more to it. But interesting, you think all those frequencies, everything that's out there to listen to, from literally DC to light, below AM broadcast all the way to microwave and cell phones. There's plenty to listen to, and if you use that information in the wrong manner, then I'm sure there could be some consequences, but overall, I wouldn't panic about using a scanner in Florida. K1DCT, back to net.
Well, thank you, Dave, and I can add a little bit to this. In one of the paragraphs here, it says, a person, firm, or corporation may not install or transport in any motor vehicle or business establishment, except emergency vehicle, etc., any frequency modulation radio receiving equipment so adjusted or tuned as to receive messages or signals on frequencies assigned by the FCC to police or law enforcement officers or fire rescue personnel of any city or county of the state. So you could have a scanner that is turned off, unplugged, put in your trunk,
But if you're stopped for whatever reason and they determine that that scanner does have those frequencies listed in it, then you're guilty of that crime. I would have to imagine that part of this is because if you're actively using, if you wrote the law to say if you're actively using it, then it becomes very hard. As soon as the folks pull you over, you quickly turn it off, unplug it, or what have you, and say, oh no, it wasn't on. But by saying, if it's programmed for it, doesn't matter whether it's plugged in or not plugged in or what have you, whether it's in use or just being transported. And the side discussion that I heard some people talking about said, well, what about when they're shipping scanners to the stores? Well, they're not pre-programmed with those things, so they would be fine. But let's see what Dave thinks. KA6BDG, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
This is Dave, KA6PDG, and I agree with what Kevin said before me. I guess we're trading names tonight. Yeah, there was, when you first read it, there was a little hiss on your signal, and your audio wasn't quite good. So, with these things, the devil is always in the details, and when it comes to legalese, that means the words. Did you say... Does this cover companies, businesses installing and transporting, or did it refer to private individuals also, Tim, that do the installing and transporting?
It started off with a person, firm, or corporation may not install or transport. I think that answers your question.
Fashion to varying degrees, and some of them do so with an exception for ham radio operators. Some of them don't. I also think about off-duty police officers and firefighters, and there's sort of a different school of thought amongst agencies and police chiefs and so forth, because there are a lot of agencies, for example, that like the idea of members of the community listening in so that they know what's going on and they can be on the lookout for certain things. Key, interesting choice of words there. For instance, if there's an Amber Alert or something, you have people that know, they know the description of the car, the license plate maybe, and they can call in if they spot it. Then you have the opposite school of thought, which is, well, it just makes it too easy for people to use the information for nefarious reasons. So there's two different camps. I think if you talk to police chiefs and people like that, maybe even fire chiefs, they're going to tell you that. I don't know where the twain shall meet. I personally don't like it because I think it's the government protecting us from ourselves. And I think if you're not using it in a way that is illegal or breaking other laws, let's say, maybe that's a better way to word it, that, you know, you should be okay. Then, of course, the... When Dave says, I wouldn't worry too much about having a scanner in your car driving through Florida, or listening to it, that may depend, because if you have an out-of-state license plate, you know, it might subject you to a little more scrutiny. Or, God forbid, I know this is a bad thing to say, but if you're a person of a certain ethnicity, that kind of thing. So, again, the devil's in the details when it comes to the wording of the law and how it's enforced. KA6PDG.
Thank you, Kevin. And indeed, the devil is in the details. They can be used in emergency vehicles, which are specified in this statute. talking about any motor vehicle used by any law enforcement officer or employee of a city, county, etc. Any fire department vehicle of any city, county, etc. Any motor vehicle designated as an emergency vehicle by the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. These are all vehicles that can have scanners or radio, FM radios. Any motor vehicle designated as an emergency vehicle, any crime watch vehicle, which means any motor vehicle used by any person participating in a citizen crime watch or neighborhood watch when such program and use are approved in writing by the appropriate sheriff or chief of police where the vehicle will be used, etc. This section does not apply to the following. Any holder of a valid amateur radio operator or station license issued by the FCC, so that means any valid amateur radio operator can have a radio that is can be programmed to receive those frequencies. Any alarm system contractor, any sworn law office enforcement officer or emergency service employee, any employee of a government agency that holds a valid FCC license, and that's about it. But we've covered a lot, but let's see what Bob thinks about all this. He may have some interesting comments on this. K1RMN, Net Control, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. Don't really have much to say. I travel to Florida quite often, but I don't bring anything except my DMR radio with me when I go down there. I'm not carrying a scanner around, so I'm not going to violate their rules. And I mean, they've got a regulation. It's great. Up here, as a volunteer firefighter, I can have a scanner in my car, and you can have one in yours. I don't think we're going to change anything. Just be aware of it when you go down there. If you drive through the state, you can either unplug stuff. I don't think you're going to be stopped and have them go through your trunk. If they are, they're not looking for your scanner. They're looking for other things that you may or may not have. But I think that's kind of the case of, like Dave said, something that I wouldn't worry about all that much. This is K1RMN, back to net.
And keep in mind that what the statute is very clear on is that the scanner or radio has those frequencies programmed into them. Not that it's capable. I mean, the radios can be capable of receiving it in those frequencies. That doesn't matter. And whether it's plugged in and turned on or connected to an antenna, it doesn't matter. The whole key is if you take the radio, apply power to it, and look at the program channels that are in it, are they, any of them, set to any of those state or municipal frequencies for state or law enforcement? And I agree that I think we're talking about a certain class of individual that's involved in a certain kind of illegal business where they want to know where the police are and what have you. So, no, I don't think that they're the police. My gut feeling is the police are not driving down the road looking to see who has a scanner, but this will be one of those additional things when they find a person of interest. And then when they pull them over, they'll check, and that gives them another avenue to pursue. But let's see what Steve thinks. Maybe he's heard of something like this or knows of other states that may have something similar. And K1B, this is KC1TWR.
Doing, give them the forget the actual term for it, but, you know, give them the right to press it a little bit further and question you, you know, hope to detain you for questioning kind of thing, should you be suspected of doing something suspicious. So pretty much if you're, I wouldn't believe that if you're not up to no good, you're probably not going to have any big issues with something like that. And even with a strict of a law like that in that state, just my what I like to try to believe. Back to that, NK1B.
Well, thank you, Steve. And seeing as we're talking about Florida, I can agree with you. If you're talking about Connecticut, I might have to disagree. Last night, I could have definitely used a ski mask to keep my head warm, and I definitely could have used a small crowbar to help pop open the gas cap cover on my car that was being very stubborn at the gas station from all the rain that had turned to ice on my car. It took me about 3 or 4 minutes to finally get that to pop open. So that would have come in handy, but I digress. We've reached the bottom of the list, and before we go to the top, I'd like to do another call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and any stations that would like to join, please call now. Okay, we'll circulate back to the top of the list, and with all the additional information, and we'll see what Dave thinks, although maybe Dave has another subject or thought, something that he would like to bring up. I don't want to hog the whole net tonight with just one subject, but who knows. So we'll start with Dave. K1T, DCT, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
All right, very good, Tim, K1DCT. Just to clarify, you added another little piece about exemptions. And unless I wasn't paying attention, which could certainly be something that happens, it appeared that licensed amateurs were exempt. Is that correct? Did I hear that properly? Go ahead.
That is correct. In the Florida State Statute for 2019, statute number 843.16, paragraph, let's see, paragraph 3, correction. Where are we here? Okay, yeah, paragraph, it says, this section does not apply to the following. Any holder of a valid amateur radio operator or station license issued by the Federal Communication Commission. So this would not apply to us. Back to you.
Okay, and there you have it. Problem solved. that's why when I am, not that I'm, unfortunately, not to my liking, but not on the road that much out of state. I always make sure I have my ham license and my commercial FCC license on me. So therefore I can kind of do as I wish. But and the word I was looking for before was intent. Usually, you know, a lot of these laws have to do with that you intended to do something. So, you know, improving intent is, you know, it's all about proof, not truth. So, and as for crowbar, a pair of bolt cutters, a pair of dark coveralls, that's something I have in my car all the time, because you never know. Back to net, K1DCT.
Good to know you were prepared in your car. I presume my scraper also is in there somewhere now that we're in that season. I should mention that it's I find this of interest, and I'm going to pass this information on to my son because he lives in Kingsland, Georgia, which is just about 20 minutes drive north of Jacksonville, Florida. I know in his youth he used to have a CB radio and a scanner for a while. I don't think he has one now, but I'm going to pass that information on to him just to be on the safe side. And but let's go ahead and circle back now to Kevin, see what his thoughts are. KA6PNI, Kevin, I got your name right this time. My apologies. KA6PDG, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
Optimally when they're up high, or at least their antennas are up high. So hilltops and towers are very much coveted locations. But as we know, sometimes what happens is a repeater is located at a location access to which is restricted. Perhaps it's owned by a municipality or a law enforcement agency or something like that. Other repeaters that are located at privately owned sites. But in the case where access is restricted, and that's the case more and more as the world becomes a little crazier, it's almost self-defeating, it seems like. Let me reset. Think about this a little bit more than maybe we do, and that may just be because the world is changing, and that's something that as amateurs we have little control over. So that's just one aspect of repeaters of hundreds that there would be to discuss, and I just wondered if tonight or some other night we should get into a knockdown drag out about repeaters. KA6PDG, back to you, Tim.
Thank you, Kevin. And yes, repeaters are a large hot topic that might cover even two or three nets talking about them, all the different aspects, how they work, what are the favorite bands, what things can be done with repeaters and controllers. Are they separate or the same? How about amplifiers and what have you? And as far as accessibility, that's a good question. And also, is it wise to tell people where repeaters are located in case somebody wants to nefariously cause problems and so forth? That's a whole other question. I do know that there are some repeaters in this area that are easier to get to than others. Some just require having the right key or set of keys. And other repeaters, you have to actually go through a municipal police force and what have you to get a gain access. And and some you can go to yourself, and some may have to have an escort with you the entire time. So there's all different aspects of that. We can start talking about that this evening, and we'll see what Bob may think about Peters, unless he has something else he wants to bring up, and see if he's knows of any information of Peters that he cares to share. K1RMN, KC1TWR, in control.
KC1TWR, K1RMN. Well, repeaters and security. Yes, it's an interesting topic. I happen to believe that they should be secure, which doesn't mean that we can't get to them. We just need to figure out what the proper procedure is when we have to get to them. If it's in a municipality area where it's locked up and you need police to get you in, we need to have an agreement with the town or the city with an explanation of why we would have to get in there, primarily emergency services and things of that nature. And I'm sure most towns that I know of around here would be more than happy to get that agreement going and make it happen. We have several towns around here where we have repeaters, and I don't think of any town that would say, well, no, you're going to have to make an appointment for next Thursday when our repeater is down. So I think it's all in good faith working with these towns. If they give us the location for these repeaters, most of us aren't paying anything for those locations, so a slight inconvenience in my book is not that bad. But it's best to go in and make those arrangements ahead of time or as things change, and we just sit down with them and work things out. And I really honestly can't think of a situation where they would not want to support us in making sure that our repeater gear is working, that if we have work that has to be done on it, that we know we have to make arrangements. I mean, most jobs that I work on, you've got to make arrangements to do things well ahead of time. So it's just something that, maybe we can't just go up there tomorrow because we want to take a look at something. We'll have to plan it a little bit better. But I like security. I like the fact that it may be a little bit safer and that somebody off the street's not just walking in there and wrecking havoc with equipment. So I like the secure side of things, and I think it's just up to us to work it out. K1RMN, back to net.
Thank you, Bob. Good comment there. And as far as the security goes, and it actually brought up another point we can touch on, which is who pays for the electricity and who pays for the repeater gear itself, the antennas and the cabling and all of that, and if there's an internet connection, who pays for that, or however that may be, if it's tied in or not. So those are also other questions we have, but let's see what Steve thinks about all this. K1B, KC1TWR, net control.
K1B. Yeah, that's actually a good topic. I don't know much about them. I know how they work and that kind of thing, but I don't know much about the logistics of. I'm often curious, and I've wondered how difficult it is. You know, what the procedure is to get the call sign for the repeater. And I know there's some kind of allocating for the frequencies. There's some sort of local someone that oversees that, supervises that. And also, I don't know how many, like if you had the funding and the spots, how many repeaters you can put up under the same call sign, and you know how nervous the FCC is about that. You know, if you want to put two up in one, you know, over the course of 1 month or something like that, or you got to, you know, space them out a little bit or something like that. You know, those are the kind of questions that I always wondering. You know, I can't afford to build a repeater right now, that's for sure. But I just feel curious about all the things like the call sign and stuff like that. I certainly wouldn't want my own call sign, you know, for a repeater, but I don't know. It's a good topic. It's a lot of unknowns. Back to that. And K1B.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. actually for bringing up a couple of points that make for good talking points. One of them is, as you said, who decides what call time will be used with what repeater. Right now the Waterford and the Groton repeaters both share W1NLC. The next question is, if somebody decides that they want to set up their own repeater, what's the process for that? Is there a governing body that manages the repeater frequencies and determines who's going to use what frequencies? And is there a governing body just by the state or by the region? And how does that meld with other areas local to that? I can actually say that I do know that there's Connecticut Spectrum Management that handles just Connecticut. And then there's another New England, I believe, management, repeater management or what have you, that covers, I believe it's Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and a few other states. So, or at least one other state. So it's quite interesting. But let's see what Dave thinks about it. Oh, well, actually, we're at the bottom of the list. Don't want to keep anybody waiting on pins and needles if they're trying to check in. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Anybody that would like to join and chat with us, please call now.
This is Whiskey One Julia Oscar Papa, John Sidhu Groton.
Here is Whiskey One Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck, City of Groton. Good evening.
Okay, that recognizes John, W1JOP, Chuck, W1FJW. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we'll give both of you instant service. Our current topic that we're talking about is repeaters, and specifically we're talking about repeaters and the security that goes around them, although some other parts of them have been talked about. So if you've been listening, you can use that. And it's interesting, my computer just died. But anyhow, when I came back, very interesting. Anyhow, so we'll go to John first, W1JOP. This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
I know finding free repeater pairs in Connecticut, stipland 2 meters, is hard to do. So I think when they came in with that DMR and D-Star thing, I think, I know the Salem repeater, the sister repeater to this, the 440 repeater, was converted into D-Star when it was originally analog at first. Well, it was off the air, but... I know the Connecticut Spectrum Management, like you said, I know they oversee that. But that's all I know about that. So I'll pass it back to that W1JOP.
Well, thank you, John. I was unaware of the other portion of the Salem repeater, so that's news for me. That's good. And let's go now to go to Chuck, W1FJW. This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
Well, I think you need security at the repeaters because, you know, it's a site where you can lose equipment to thieves, vandals, and whatever else. So I think in terms of security, yeah, it should be locked to a practical degree and the location given out on a need-to-know basis. But beyond that, you should have the ability to effect repairs and upgrades in a timely manner. I know we at Raison seem to have a pretty good mix of security and accessibility that others don't seem to enjoy. So I guess we're just grateful for what we got. Back to Net, W1FJW.
Yes, definitely. definitely race on is blessed in that sense. And conversely, it has less security in the sense that if somebody were to wanted to steal the equipment, if I was to compare that to, let's say, the Groton repeater, it would be a lot easier to, well, it wouldn't be easy, but still, it's, each site has its pros and cons as far as accessibility and security. That makes it interesting. And with that, we're going to go back around to the top of the list and see what Dave thinks about this. K1DCT, net control, KC1TWR.
All right, very good. This is K1DCT. Well, this conjures up a lot of thoughts. I've been around this hobby for a little while. I can remember the, first we'll talk about the repeater pairs and getting coordinated on the frequency. I can remember the early days of my, we'll call it my hamdom, there were actually repeater wars. People would put repeaters up on the same frequency within communicating distance of each other and battle it out. That was before the Connecticut Spectrum Group. So that kind of civilized the 2-meter FM repeater coordination part, which was a very good thing because it was ugly. But, on another note, the security and things, I can remember being on the Raycon Tech Committee more years ago than I'd like to remember. But we used to have a key. There were two locks in that chain on the site, and we'd go up and do what we had to do. The shack was inside the fenced area. We climbed the tower, the tank, do what we had to do, take in the view, and then come down and celebrate our efforts. So things have changed a lot, and I know the world has changed, unfortunately, to where you don't want people wandering around public water supply area. I can fully understand that. So, you need to have some level of security to keep the public safe, and so that you don't have just anyone doing what they want to. So, pluses and minuses, and it means that at some point the repeater goes down, you may not be able to get access to it, but you know what? There's still Simplex. There's a slew of other frequencies to get things done on, so it's not, how shall I call it? Oh, mission critical. Dr. Net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. And, I remember at a recent Raycon meeting, they showed a video clip from many years gone by of some of the other local hams and talking about some of the equipment, showing where the repeater used to be inside the fenced area and top of the tower and so forth. So it was quite interesting. And let's go next to Kevin, K6PDG, this is net control, KC1TWR.
All right. righty. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, good stuff. And I also, as Chuck put it, favor a good mix of security and accessibility. I've seen times when it's an issue, and many times it's not. And as far as repeater wars, I remember repeater wars when there was spectrum management, but I'm referring to Northern California, and hopefully that's a situation that's gotten better. Unfortunately, some of the spectrum management organizations can be quite political, territorial, giving preference to certain groups or geographic locations. Hopefully that doesn't happen much, but I know it has happened. And again, I'm thinking a lot of California. And I wonder, you know, the history of repeater, and Dave is right, the opposite of a repeater is a simplex, and I think we need to practice more with simplex. And I wonder how many people know that, and this is what I hear, because I was not an amateur when this was the case, but I think back in the... days. Okay, it's 6PDG, back to that.
Well, it's certainly before my time, and I do hope that California has gotten their act together. And let's go next to Bob, K1RMN, KC1TWR, net control.
K1RMN, 2-1 net control. Yeah, interesting topics tonight. I like this discussion about these repeaters, and geez, I really am sorry I missed the repeater wars. I don't know how bloody that was, but sounds like it was pretty interesting. Yeah, I think it would be good for us to practice, like has been mentioned, you know, what do you do when the repeater doesn't work? And, you know, lately our repeaters have been sketchy and on and off, and how else can we set up communications to handle those situations? And those of us that have go kits, may be an opportunity for us to do some training and send folks to... determine locations to be able to handle traffic and communications. Something to think about. Club events and or maybe a multi-club event would be very interesting to see what we could do and how we could make it all work and how quickly we could actually set it up in the case of an emergency. Good to practice that before somebody calls upon us to do it. K1, RMN, back to net.
Bob. Yep. Good comment. On to Steve at K1B. Net control, KC1TWR.
And K1B. I thought I had no more comments on this, but actually I do. I have another interesting concept, and it's not really, don't really need an answer for it, because I probably could look it up, but I'll just comment on it. What if myself or a club I was in had a vehicle capable of running a repeater, say a van or a truck or something that could remotely, you know, could portably deploy a reasonable antenna and so on, and had an energy source and so on? I wonder what the location of that would matter to, like, the FCC, like if there was a situation and the regular repeater site was damaged and 2 miles away there was a similar peak or something that could be used to get it going again, either, say, like a trailer or a whatever, or even 2 miles, 3 miles away, how would that work? I wonder. Back to that, NK1B.
Thank you, Steve, and I'm going to speak with my limited knowledge, so if I'm wrong, somebody can correct me. I believe that the FCC would only be involved as far as the frequencies and the powers that were used, power levels that were used. That would be spectrum management, and I believe that they would need to be involved with that. But that's a good question, and we'll go to John, W1JOP, and control, KC1PWR.
Yeah, I think this is all a very interesting conversation. I unfortunately don't really have much more to add to it, even though I've been in the hobby for 20 years. I really don't know much about repeaters myself. I mean, I know what they do and all that, but I'm finding this more interesting than anything. So I'll turn it back to Ned. This is W1GOP.
Thank you, John. Like me, we're learning something new every day, and in this hobby, it could be almost every hour. And but let's see what Chuck thinks. W1FJW, this is KC1TWR.
I'm fresh out of thoughts on that one. I can't help, I guess. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, I think I'll do a quick call out. Anyone else that would like to join the TIPS net, please call now. I think we have just enough time for one quick round going through on this section before we get to the second and third sections. So let's jump back up to Dave and see what he thinks about Kevin's comment. K1DCT, this is net control, KC1TWR.
Yeah, this is K1DCT. I don't know how old Kevin thinks I am. You know, I was in this hobby when I was two. So, you know, there's been some interesting changes. I do not remember any repeaters on AM. That was, if that happened, that was before my time. But, you know, there's been some interesting changes, and, you know, glad to still be around to see what's next. Back to net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. And we'll see now what Kevin thinks of your comment. K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Signals by banging two rocks together, but I wasn't sure. all in good fun. And I've played with, well, 6-meter repeaters. And then I used to do a lot of 10-meter FM with 10-meter FM repeaters when I was out west. I don't know if we have 10-meter FM repeaters anymore. I know the band plan has changed. I think a lot of them have gone away. And it was kind of tenuous with propagation sometimes. But I do remember, in fact, one of our local repeaters in Oregon had a link to 10 FM. And through our local 2-meter machine, I could talk to guys in their cars in Boston. And I was in Oregon. Anyway, it's about 4 minutes till the hour. I better be quiet. KA6PDG.
Thank you, Kevin, for your brief comment. And we'll move on to Bob, K1RMN, from Net Control.
Yeah, this is K1RMN. Actually, I'm going to take Kevin's advice, and I'm going to be quiet and listen here now. K1RMN, back to net.
Okay, I hope I'm not scaring everybody away from making last comment or whatever on this section of the TIPS net, but let's see if Steve has something of interest in K1V, KC1TWR.
Actually, I have something slightly amusing. I was just putzing around on my computer here, and I happened to be going through some shortcuts that I had, or whatever you call them, on bookmarks, and I brought up the APRS map, and not this repeater, but the Raycon repeater. It pretty much shows you exactly where it is and gives you a really good picture of it, so just an interesting fact to kind of a neat thing. I was just looking around there, seeing what was on there, and there she was. Back to that NK1B.
Well, that's very interesting. I'm wondering how they got on there like that. That bears investigation. But let's see what John has to say. W1JOP. This is Net Control, KC1CWR.
I'd just like to say good evening to everybody and hope everybody has a good night. I have nothing more to add. This is W1JOP.
Thank you, John. Remember, we still have two more sections of the TIPSnet to go. But first, let's hear from Chuck, W1FJW. This is KC1CWR.
Well, I have no further comments other than thanking you for running the net tonight, W1FJW.
Well, thank you, Chuck. And let's jump right into the next section of the TIPSnet. Let me get back to my notes here again. From section, second section. Okay, we'll start the second section. Does anybody have any announcements about upcoming events, meeting schedules, etc., or items of interest? Please call now.
K1 RMN.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, this is K1RMN. On behalf of Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, we know that the annual Christmas party was canceled this year, but last night at our meeting, we decided to hold a potluck gathering at the Montville Red Cross building from 1 to 4 o'clock. Tim, you'll have to give me the date because I can't find my note right now, but it's the same date as the Christmas party was going to be, and all are invited. So please come yourself, bring a spouse, bring something to share with everybody, and we'll get together and hopefully have a good time, and then we can go on to all the other things we have planned at Christmas time. So, I mean, Tim, if you can come back with the exact date while I try to find my calendar, I would appreciate that. That's all I have. K1RMN, back to that.
Thank you, Bob. That would be Saturday, December 14th, or approximately 2 weeks before Christmas, or a week and a half before Christmas. It would be Saturday, December 14th. At the Red Cross building on Route 32 in Montville, or Uncasville, I guess is where it is technically. And I'm sure we'll figure out who, you know, who to coordinate it with. If, it'll be basically a potluck. The club itself is going to provide beverages, non-alcoholic, because it's, you know, Red Cross building. The club will provide the utensils and paper plates and napkins and beverages and cups and so forth. Bob, did you also want to mention anything about the meeting time, et cetera?
This is K1RMN. Yes, the meeting time for the Tri-City Club has been changed from 7:30 to 7 p.m. From now on. So we'll start a half hour earlier. I think give chance for people to get home a little earlier that don't want to stay out quite so late. And we'll also be doing our presentations at the beginning of the evening, and then we'll have a short business meeting afterwards. It's K1RMN, back to net.
With questions or comments about these events or changes in plans and what have you, please call now.
Good evening.
The time is 8 p.m. on Wednesday, November 13th.
Okay, we're running a little bit over, so I'll try and wrap up quickly. I do want to mention that at the meeting last night, one of the committee reports that we're doing now is the TIPSnet, where we're going to report you know, how it's being attended, what kind of subject matter we're talking about. And it was also mentioned that, thanks to you, Kevin, thank you to you, Kevin, for recording the sessions and hosting them on the am1700.org/tipsnet website. Very much appreciate that and the efforts that you take to do that. Comments or anything else that anybody would like to bring up, please call now. Any late check-in, please call now. Okay, briefly, we'll go to the third section of TIPSnet. Is there anyone that wishes to swap cell or looking for imager radio-related items? Please call now.
K1RMN.
Okay, go ahead. I have K6PDG and K1RMN. Go ahead, Kevin. You can go first, K6PDG. Like those little 4-inch by 4-inch or 5-inch by 5-inch type box speakers.
Fashioned speaker, nothing electronic. K6PDG.
Okay, anyone care to respond to Kevin about this item at this time? Please call now.
K1DCT, just curious about the connector. Is it a 1/8 inch non-stereo?
Go ahead, Kevin, you can answer him directly.
And I believe non-stereo, but I can adapt that. I have plenty of adapters, so even if it has an RCA plug on it or a 1/4 inch, it doesn't matter. I've got plenty of adapters. But the radio takes a 3.5 millimeter, which is a mini. Okay, Dave. Copy that, Dave.
Yes, I did. I'll look around. Back to net, K1DCT.
Okay, and Kevin, I'll look around too. I may have one of the 4x4 type speakers, which, you know, if you get a better offer of something you like better, that's good too. Let's go ahead and go to Bob, K1RMN. Please proceed with your item.
Yeah, this is K1RMN. I have a TYT 2017 DMR radio with a battery charger, two batteries, and 1, 2, 3 antennas, and the external speaker mic. If anyone is interested, you can get a hold of me on QRZ as well. K1RMN, back to net.
Anyone have any questions or comments to Bob on this item? Please call now. Very good. Any further questions, comments, or considerations for the TIPSnet as a whole or check-in? Please call now. No further check-ins. I'm going to close the net at this time. I'd like to thanks to all to who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet, and thanks to all who listened diligently as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031 Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. The meeting started at 7:30 p.m., which has now been adjusted to 7 p.m. I have to update my notes, and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. TRICITYARC.com. We would like to thank John WNAN for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo saying good evening and 73.